I wanted to keep the focus this morning on prayer because that's what the message was going to be on. So with that, let's turn in our Bibles to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. It's just a little book. It was part of our reading this past week. 1 Thessalonians, we're going to go to chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to read one verse, verse number 17. And this will probably be the quickest reading we've ever had here on a Sunday morning. Let's stand while God's word is being read. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one verse, verse 17 says this, pray continually. With that, let's go to God in prayer. Father, it's just two words. Some Bibles have pray without ceasing, but it's a powerful command from your word. So, Father, we want to learn more about that here today. We want to learn how we can pray continually, pray without ceasing. Father, we just need you to do that in our lives, that we can pray when we need to pray, pray more often. So, Father, have this lesson here this morning, this message, in your word, confirm in us what you want us to do, and that is pray continually. To you be all the glory, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Pray continually. Pray continually. It sounds so easy, but yet it's probably rather difficult for most of us, if not all of us. So when do we pray? Do we have dedicated times in our lives that we set aside and we say, we are going to pray at this time? Be it in the morning, maybe when we get up and are drinking our cup of coffee, or maybe during the day at lunchtime when we have a break, or possibly at night when we lay our head on the pillow and we pray ourselves to sleep? Do we have times when we pray? Do we even pray at all? You know, the normal human response would be this, even for Christians. If things are going well, I guess I don't need to pray. But boy, when things don't go well, that is when we find ourselves in constant communication with God. But should we wait until bad things happen in our lives, when things aren't going our way, to open up that line of communication with God? How about this question? What would be the condition of the world, or maybe let's just say America, if Christians, if true believing Christians, prayed more often than what we do? What would the United States of America be like if we prayed just more often, maybe not even continually, but more often than what we do? Or how about this question? And I know I've challenged this congregation with this question before. What would be the spiritual condition of this church, of Beech Grove Christian Church, if everyone prayed just like you? I heard someone challenge me with that at one point in time, and I never forgot those words. Because there's two extremes to that. On one side, over here, this is always the bad side, over here you have the person who doesn't have very much of a prayer life at all. And yet they still consider themselves a Christian, and they probably still are, but they don't go to God for very much of anything, not even praises. And on the other hand, you do have people in churches who are genuine prayer warriors. Their life is all about prayer. And they pray for anything and everyone. And they go to God with all kinds of joys and concerns. This person over here Boy, wouldn't it be great if each and every one of us in here could be like that? I'll just make a confession. I wish I could be like this. So if you want to know who I'm preaching to here this morning, I'm probably preaching more to myself than I'm preaching to anybody else. So if you think, uh-oh, I'm in hot water, well, Pastor Mike's in hot water here this morning too. So how is our prayer life? Do we just go to God when we need him, when we want him, when the circle circles up on Sunday morning, and then kind of forget about him the other time during the week? Is it possible to pray continually? Or as some Bibles will say, pray without ceasing. Is it really possible to do that? Well, if you look at each and every one of our lives, I'm sure we would all agree. There are times where we are occupied doing things. We are concentrating and we are focused maybe on our work, our job, or maybe I know my wife loves to quilt, and when she's quilting, she's focused on that, or cooking, or whatever it might be. So there are times, and obviously we have time to sleep, so there are times when we probably cannot be in a mode of prayer. But what about all those in-between times? Those times where we're just not doing much of anything. As I said one time, if somebody called you on the phone and they said, oh, what are you doing right now? Oh, nothing. What if they called you on the phone and said, what are you doing? And you said, I'm praying. Wouldn't that be something? That'd be a good thing to do. But we don't pray because many times we make up excuses why we don't have to. There's always something that's a little more important than going to God with whatever it is, our concerns or our needs. And let's face it, we all have concerns and needs. We certainly make those vocal on Sunday mornings. But this morning I want to talk about alleviating some possible excuses that we might have for not praying without ceasing. And the first one is this, and I'll ask the question, and then we'll answer that with our first fill in the blank. The first one would be this: should I pray alone or should I pray with other people? Because, and the excuse here might be this: well, you know, I am just not comfortable praying alone. I'm not comfortable praying in front of other people. And I'm just not comfortable with a lot of other people around because sometimes I just don't want them to hear what my concerns are. So the excuses can go one way or the other, that some people are uncomfortable praying alone, some people are uncomfortable praying with other people. Well, the fill in the blank would certainly be this. Praying, this is our first one, praying can be corporate or solitary. It could be corporate or solitary. What do those words mean? Well, corporate is what we would do on a Sunday morning. Corporate means we pray with other people. And we can do that. We can pray with just one other person. We can pray with a whole group of believers like we do on a Sunday morning here at church. Or we can pray solitary. We can pray absolutely by ourselves. And there's no good excuse for not doing either one. Let me give you four different Bible verses of people who are praying under different conditions. First one would be this, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9. It says this, that Nehemiah and his men, and they're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, it says that the men were praying for safety. And if you look at the verses around that, there were hundreds of men who were working on the walls of Jerusalem. So at this point in time, you have hundreds of people together who are praying for a common cause, in this case, the safety of these Israelites rebuilding the wall. Another example, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says this, the remaining disciples, the women, Mary, and Jesus' brothers were praying. So if we look at how many people that could be maybe several dozen people that were praying at one time, all for a common cause. And then we get down to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 33. It says this, that Elisha and his servant Gehazi, they were praying over a dead boy. And as they were praying, God brought this dead boy back to life. But the point I want to make with this example is this. There were two people who were praying for a common cause at this time. And their prayers were not only heard, but answered. And then we have Luke chapter 6, verse 12, which says this, that Jesus went to a mountainside to pray to choose his 12 disciples. And in this case, we see the example of where one person, solitary, can go pray by themselves, and their prayers would certainly be answered. So, if the excuse is, I don't feel comfortable praying corporately, or I don't feel comfortable praying by myself, well, neither one of those is really a good excuse for not to be able to pray without ceasing, to pray continually, because we see examples in the Bible of people praying under different conditions. The second excuse people might use, well, what about the place where I pray? Well, I only feel comfortable praying at a certain place. At my home, in a car, at church. You know, there are people who will use the excuse, I can only pray when I am at this certain place. So is there a better place to pray than another? Well, again, we certainly can't use that as an excuse to not pray continually. The fill in the blank simply says this, you can pray anywhere. Anywhere. There's no place that is inappropriate to pray. Let me give you a few more biblical examples of places where people prayed in the Bible. Again, I'll get back to Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Jesus went to a mountainside to pray to choose the 12 disciples. So you can pray on a mountainside. And let me just stop right there. A lot of people, and I don't know if this is you or not, were you ever just out in nature somewhere, maybe on a mountaintop, a mountainside, or maybe overlooking the ocean, maybe you were fishing or something like that, or on a lake, or just somewhere where there you have the solitude of nature around you, and you just see the glory of God all around. And when you're in that type of environment, it seems to me that that should prompt us to pray, to go to God, to, even if it's just praise for what he's given us. I will say this, Nelson County is a very beautiful place. It's an absolutely gorgeous place with the mountains and oh my goodness, and now with the trees turning this time of year, it's beautiful, and we should give God praise for that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is giving instructions on orderly corporate worship to the men and the women. And the point I want to get across is that the people were praying in a corporate worship environment. Hey, that would be like church. And we do that here. We do pray in church. It is one of those things that we do. It's one of the eight things. Why do we go to church? A church is a place of prayer, and we come to church to pray. But church would seem like the most appropriate place to pray. Well, how about this? In Acts chapter 10, verse 9, Peter goes on top of a roof. He goes on a rooftop to pray. So you can pray on your roof. Just be careful if you're on your roof praying. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus tells us to go into our room and pray. And Jacob just read that here for our responsive reading. So we can go into our room. We can pray at home. And that's what the Bible tells us. But the best one, I saved the best one for last. And it's Jonah chapter 2. And we all know the story of Jonah. And if you go back and read Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah is praying from within the belly of a great fish. So, that just proves one thing. If a person can pray from inside the belly of a great fish, that we can certainly pray anywhere. We can pray anywhere. But another point I want to bring out about Jonah is, isn't it something that when we find ourselves in difficult situations, no matter where we are at, when we hear the bad news, sometimes it doesn't really make any difference, does it, where we are at, that we go to God in prayer? A third reason there, or a third excuse that might keep us back from praying continually. What about the posture? What about the position that we are in? Now, I'll just be honest with you. With my Catholic upbringing, there was only one position that you could be in when you were praying, and you were on your knees. And that's where you had to be. And I'll just be honest with you, on our knees praying is a good place to be, because when we're on our knees, it is a place of surrender. There isn't much that you can do when you're on your knees, is there? I can't really run from anybody, and it's kind of a place where I could lift my hands, but on our knees is not the only place where we can pray. Again, some more Bible examples. First let's fill in the blank. We can pray, you can pray in any posture or any position, whatever word you want to be in there. And here's some Bible examples. Genesis 24:12 says that Isaac's servant was praying in a standing position. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, men are told to lift up holy hands in prayer. I remember I went to a, let's just stop right there. I remember I went to a retreat one time. A whole bunch of Christian guys, and I was just a new Christian at this point in time. And they were singing songs, and during the singing, I saw some of the guys doing this. They had their hands up like this. Some guys had both their hands raised. And I said, boy, they must really be spiritual to be able to do that. Well, it's not really a matter of being spiritual. If that's what the Lord leads you to do, to raise your hands while you're singing, then you ought to raise your hands while you're singing. And it's not certainly not inappropriate to do, because the Bible tells us that men are to lift up holy hands in prayer. Judges chapter 2, verse 26, the Israelites sat and prayed. John chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus looked upward and prayed. Exodus 34, verse 8, Moses bowed to the ground and prayed. 1 Kings 18:42, Elijah prayed with his face between his knees. In Luke 18:13, the tax collector beat his breast while he prayed. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel prayed facing the temple. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, the one that I mentioned earlier, a beggar prayed to Jesus while he was on his knees. So, the Bible specifically tells us that there's no specific position that we need to be in, no specific posture that we need to be in to pray. So there's three things. If they were excuses, well, I can't pray continually because it's who I pray with, either alone or with other people, or I can't pray continually because of the place where I pray, or I can't pray continually because I need to be in a certain posture. Well, I'm just here to tell you, you can throw all three of those excuses out because none of them apply. We can still pray continually. And I'm going to, to wrap this up here this morning, I'm just going to read a couple stories out of the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to read Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, because this will be our last two fill-in-the-blanks. Luke 11, 5 through 8 says this, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me three loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are here with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So, since we have no excuse for not praying continually, let's shift that conversation over to how should we pray? Our next fill in the blank would be this. We learned this from this parable. We should be bold in our prayer life. We should be bold in our prayer life. Just think, we can go to the Creator God with our prayers and our concerns. Let's look at a couple things that the man in the story did, the man who had the visitor come to him. The man visits his neighbor at midnight. Okay? How would you like a knock on your door at midnight? You'd probably tell that person to go away too, wouldn't you? I probably would. You know, I don't have a shotgun in my house. I do carry a baseball bat. So I can't shoot them, but I'll certainly, I won't go there. So, anyways, the man goes to his neighbor at midnight. What does that tell us? That we can go to God at any time. God doesn't care when we go to him, and we can go boldly. We can go at 6 o'clock in the morning. We can go at 12 o'clock at night. We can go during our lunch break. We can go at 3 o'clock in the morning when we get up and we're trying to get back to sleep. Another thing, the man is not ashamed that he does not have. He knows he doesn't have any bread, but he's not ashamed of it. So we should go boldly to God with things that we know that we should not be ashamed to go to God and say, I don't have this. I don't have this, Lord, but I need this. I need this. And God understands our shortcomings, and he is okay with that. So we can be bold with knowing that we should not be ashamed of going to God with the things that we don't have. Another thing about the man, he assumes and he knows that the neighbor has what he needs. He assumes that the neighbor has what he needs. Does God have what we need? I don't care what's on your mind. If it's something that you need, God has it. Have we gone boldly to God with our needs? And the fourth thing, the man was specific with his request. I want 3 loaves of bread. That means that we can be specific with God too. In our boldness, when we go to God, we can tell him exactly what it is that we need in our lives. We do that every Sunday morning, don't we? Specifics. We go to God, Cindy's co-worker. We go to God because of Ruth Shirley. We want healing in their bodies. We want salvation experiences. We can be specific like the man was. He wanted 3 loaves and the neighbor gave it to him. So we should be bold in our prayer life also. Now I'm just going to end with this last story that Jesus tells in Luke 18. Again, how should we pray? Now that we know that we should pray without ceasing, that we should pray continually, we know that we should pray, that we should be bold in our prayer. Luke 18, chapter 1, just another quick story, and we'll end with this. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I don't even have to read the story. I should be able to just stop right there. They should always pray and not give up. And he told him the story. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. Wow. What does that tell us? Our last fill in the blank. We should be persistent in our prayer life. We should be persistent in our prayer life. In the story here, the judge, we know that the judge does not represent God. Actually, the judge represents the polar opposite of God. He did not fear God, nor did he care about men. So that looks like that should be a person that this widow is not going to get anything from. And the widow, she represents the least of people. One, she was a woman in that culture. And two, she was a widow. She had no man to support her, no man to protect her. But yet, she was persistent with what she needed. And the contrasting point that we find in this story, we find that answer in verse 7. If an unjust judge can grant this woman what she wants, what's God going to do for us, his chosen ones, when we ask him? Frank, this church is not going to give up on Jeff and Della. And one day, that son of yours and his wife are going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because for many, many years now, this church has been persistent. We have been specific. God knows our request, and I believe with all my heart that he's going to grant that request. Can I hear an amen on that? So what should we pray for? We know that we should pray. We know that we should be bold in our prayer. We know that we should be persistent in our prayer. I know I'm taking a while here this morning, just a few more things, because prayer is so important, my friends. Romans chapter 1, verse 10. Here's some of the things that Paul prayed for. Romans 1:10, that God's will open the way for him to preach in Rome. Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 1, he prayed that all Israel would be saved. 2 Corinthians 13:7, Paul prayed that the believers in Corinth would do nothing wrong. And let's face it, those people had a pretty bad reputation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul prayed that the hearts of the believers in Ephesus that be enlightened so they will know and understand the hope of Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul prayed that the love of the believers in Philippi abounds all the more so that they can discern what is best and pure. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul prayed that God would fill the believers in Colossae with knowledge and with wisdom and with understanding. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul prayed that God may count the believers in Thessalonica worthy of their calling. You look at all those prayers that Paul prayed, not one of them was for himself. But does that mean we can't pray for ourselves? I pray for myself a whole lot. I'll be honest with you. I do. I wish I prayed for others as much as I pray for me. And maybe that's you. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 tells us this. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers and requests. That would mean things that I need for me. I pray for the message every week. I pray that my heart will be right when I go before you. I pray for this church. All kinds of prayers and requests. In Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 6 says a very similar thing. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The book of James, chapter 1, I believe, says this. We have not because we... Oh my. We know our Bibles pretty good, don't we? Boy, if we could just do it. If we could just do it. We have not because we ask not. Well, maybe it's time we start asking. What do you think? Maybe it's time that we start praying without ceasing. Maybe it's time that we went to God being bold in our prayer life. Maybe it's time we went to God being persistent in our prayer life. Maybe it's time we just went to God, period, because we don't. So, can we truly pray without ceasing? Can we truly pray continually? Can we? Yes, we can, because one, we can pray with others just as well as we can pray by ourselves. Two, we can pray anywhere, no matter if it's at home, at work, or even if you find yourself in the belly of a great fish. We can pray in any posture or in any position. And we can pray, and when we do pray, we can pray boldly, and we can pray persistently, because that's how Jesus tells us we need to pray. And we can pray for anything, as long as it aligns with the Word of God. So there are no limits, and there are no restrictions. And since there are no limits, no restrictions, my friends, I'm here to tell you, we can pray without ceasing. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I hope the lesson that we all learned here this morning, especially me, is that when I don't feel like praying, that's when I do start praying. So, Father, if you do nothing else in our lives today, this week, just prick at our hearts and let us know that, hey, Mike, hey, whoever it is, it's time to pray. And we can give you praise and we can give you glory, or we can come to you with our request, with our prayers, with our petitions, with our needs, and we can pray boldly and we can pray persistently. Because we know that you will answer and you will hear us. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this lesson this morning. Let us all become better at praying. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We will not have a hymn of invitation this morning. We will have, once again, a responsive reading, which will be in our hymnals, 646. And you can stay seated if you like. 646 in our hymnals. I'll give you a few minutes to get there. And I will play the part here this morning of the worship leader, and then we will all read where it says everyone. Okay, is everybody there? 646, we got it. Okay, it says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay, let's stand for a closing here. I don't know about you, but I'll just say this. Boy, you know, I start preparing this lesson. As soon as I read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I said, I know I got to preach on prayer because, Mike, you need to have a better prayer life. And I'm not talking about Mike you, I'm talking about Mike me. Mike me needs a better prayer life. But I think it's safe to say that probably we all do, don't we? I think, what if we, this week, each day this week, we just said one more prayer than what we normally do? What if this week we took just 30 more seconds to pray than what we normally do? What kind of changes could we have in this world? What kind of changes could we see in this church? What kind of changes could we see in the community if we just made a little more of an effort to pray without ceasing? Be good, wouldn't it? I think it's a lesson for all of us.